So, you know, what else is there to speak about but spring? And I wrote a few notes down here, and we can talk about spring. Although words can't reach it, I asked around about spring, and my daughter, Cindy, daughter-in-law, was over at the house, lying on the couch, pregnant, a couple of months pregnant, just got back from the doctor, and I asked her, you know, Cindy, what do you think about when you think about spring? What occurs to you? And she said, well, I think about all the little birds. She has a bird, actually, and she has a cat and a couple of dogs, and likes to do a lot of gardening. So she's been inside, you know, all winter, pregnant. And she thinks of the new lambs, new life, new possibilities, and all that stuff that you think about in the winter, about all these projects you can do once the sun comes out. And then I asked my wife, Martha, a little later, and she was dressed in her gardening gear, you know, water-repellent gardening gear. She had a trowel in one hand, I remember. She looked out the window. I said, Martha, what do you think about when you think about spring? And she looked out that window, and she said, spring comes so fast. All of a sudden, everything's growing, shooting up, weeds and flowers. You want to say, whoa, slow down. Slow down. You know, winter was kind of nice. It was sort of a respite, you know. You didn't have to do any of those projects. But now, you know, you do. And inside, it's nice and cozy. And you can read the New Yorker if you like to do that, and she does. A little bit like a retreat. And you know, in India, back in the old days, and maybe now, they have these winter, rainy season retreats, and all the monks hunker down inside, and meditate more, and listen to the Dharma more. In fact, Green Gulch, there's the end of a rainy season retreat going on right now. Also at San Quentin, we're having a retreat, come to think of it. Yeah. Are you ready for spring? I mean, have you accepted the fact that it's spring? I mean, it's been raining a lot. And the whole world is spring from horizon to horizon. Up in the mountains, if you went up there, it's spring up there. Although I spoke to a friend of mine in Wolfboro, Massachusetts, and the lake's frozen, but it's melting. And down in the ground, the worms, everything's coming up. It really is. Have you gone walking in the hills? Wildflowers are beginning to appear. Here's a little writing from Ahe Dogen, our spiritual ancestor in Soto Zen. He wrote something called Plum Blossoms. And you may know that the plum tree is the first tree to bloom, usually. Even when there's snow on the ground, the plum tree will bloom. And at Green Gulch, we have this giant plum tree. It's really wonderful. It carpets the whole ground with white. He said, when you paint spring, do not paint willows, plums, peaches, or apricots. Just paint spring. To paint willows, plums, peaches, or apricots is to paint willows, plums, peaches, or apricots. It is not yet painting spring. It is not that spring cannot be painted. But aside from my late master, Tendo Nyojo, no one in India or China has painted spring. He alone was the sharp, pointed brush who painted spring. This spring is spring in the painting because it enters into the painting. It does not use any other power, but lets plum blossoms activate spring. He lets spring enter into a painting and into a tree. This is his skillful means. And actually, he wrote this when there was snow on the ground back in the 1200s. He taught that even though the attainment of realization is immediately manifest right now, its intimate nature is not necessarily realized. So maybe we have to open our eyes. And how do we open our eyes? This is the question that the monk asks, right? Well, how do I open my eyes? And what does the teacher say? Well, if you get one to tell you, let me know. In his work called the Genjo Koan, which means actualizing the fundamental point, he gives us a little bit of a hint on how to open our eyes. In this work, he offers that the way to realization or enlightenment or opening your eyes is to study the self, to forget the self. And he says, to study the Buddha way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be actualized by the myriad things. When actualized by the myriad things, attachment to body and mind of yourself and others just naturally drops away. Yeah, the attachment just naturally drops away. Now, this self, what includes this small self, includes what do you think? Habits, fixed viewpoints. What does it include, this small self that we aggregate and call us? Preferences. And when this small self brings its agenda forward, its habits, its judgments, its fixed viewpoints, we bring those things forward to get them validated by what we see, it alienates us from spring, from who we really are. The Tibetans call that the self-grasping I habit. I like that. And this small self is all about separation, judgments and preferences. And it's always running for office, you know, even between elections, grinding on, you know, collecting resources to redouble its efforts. It's wonderful. You got to really hand it to the small self. Yeah, you know, always make it, this is me, this isn't me. You know, it's on the job. It's not falling asleep. You may fall asleep. The small self is working away. And in today's political arena, right, there's red states and blue states. Is that it? And now it's like a company could be a red company or a blue company. So if you're a red person, you don't buy from a blue company. You know, that kind of thing. What is that called? Or a red person. You know. Or you might have a friend and all of a sudden you find out that, my gosh, they're the wrong color. you don't know what to do. It's hard. You have this kind of good feeling towards this person. You've gone through a long time with done things with them, been intimate, shared this and that. And then all of a sudden you find out they voted for the wrong person. And it can be quite a problem. So the operation of the small self could cast a shadow over everything. Over spring. Cast a shadow over spring. Yeah. So what do you do about this? Well, Dogen's saying, well, study the self, right? And does he recommend spring cleaning? I mean, it is spring. And to turn the light on and get rid of the small self. One of the problems with that suppression thing is it sort of bites you later on. You know, it's not a really a tried and true way of doing it. It works for a little while. But bringing awareness to it. Awareness itself is a transforming act. You don't have to do anything except, I don't know how you do it. It's not being aware, because that's like a little bit too much. It's like somebody being aware. You know, it's like it's a separation there. But awareness, you know. Take a step back from even being aware and just let awareness alone. It is a transforming act. It's tough, you know, because you're out of control then. You know, what are you going to... Your small self won't let you do that, really. It'll trick you into not doing that. So this is the practice of listening, this awareness. Without our small self agenda. That's what Zen students say. Have a seat and watch your breath or whatever the way in is, you know, to awareness. And put your agenda to one side, you know, for the time being. It'll be there later. Don't worry about it. If you are on a retreat, of course, it'll show up. Small self will show up. Not at first because, well, it's actually always there. You just don't notice it at first, but you think it's you not being the small self. That's the small self at first. But I'm not going to be the small self. But it'll break through even that. And when it shows itself, don't push it away. This is a great opportunity to be inclusive. You know, invite it in. The small self needs to be hugged too. Invite it to the table. Have a seat. What do you want to eat? But be sure to stay awake and relax. This is the key thing. You're now a bodhisattva, inviting the small self in. Now you're a bodhisattva, you're a saint. But you better be on the ball, because you better stay awake and better stay relaxed. And of course, at the very end of that, awake and relax is no awake and relax, right? Because it's the small self that's staying awake and relaxed. Am I being any help? To the degree that you can forget the self, which means that Dogen says forget, but really he's saying see and include the small self, then we're in a kind of a receptive silence where we become created by all things. By spring, we become spring. And Dogen says to carry yourself forward, the small self forward, and experience things is delusion. Nothing wrong with delusion, but it is delusion. That myriad things come forth and experience themselves in you is awakening. nothing wrong with awakening. And this is the painting of spring. This is the intimate nature of realization. And this is spring painting us. There is sit for a portrait. Sit. Yeah, I guess maybe, you know, go on retreat, sit for a portrait. if spring was painting you, what would its palette be? You know, it would be, what would be on its palette? You know, they have those palette things, you know, Van Gogh with the brush. There would be sight, sound, taste, yeah. Thought, you know, maybe some hope, or maybe a regret might be there. Movement might be painted, and I don't know. What would be painted? Gusts of wind, you know, as we shiver on a hillside, you know, pulling that. And, you know, greed might be painted. I wonder what color that is. What color is greed? Yellow? Yellow. Green. Green? Oh. What? Oh, is that right? We're Tibetan. Yeah, that's good. include green, right? Put the green down. There are a couple of these poems from this era of Dogen about spring that I'll just read the short. It talked about seeing the small self, you know, in spring. This one's by Kokinshi. He says, although the spring that brings the birds chirping in the trees has renewed all things, I alone remain my former self. Yeah. Too bad. And this one, the world is renewed by the warm breeze and late sunshine. Only I, in the face of this spring scenery, am ashamed of my old self. Oh, it's tough. So to forget the self is to be enlightened by the 10,000 dharmas, which include, oh God. To be enlightened by the 10,000 dharmas is to cast off our attachment to body and mind. And this enlightenment has a lot to do with awareness. Not me being aware, but awareness. To be enlightened by the whole world is casting off attachment to body and mind. It isn't. And you can't cast it off, can you? Go ahead. Go ahead. If you could, you would. But you can't. Because who would cast it off? There's nothing there to cast it off. You can't do it. You're stuck. Yeah. To be enlightened by the whole world is to cast off body and mind of self and other. To be enlightened by the painting of spring is to be spring itself. Spring enlightens the painter. The painter lets the plum blossom activate spring. That's Dogen. No other power is used. The myriad things are your intrinsic nature. All of them. Without exception. Did you see that movie? I don't even know how to pronounce it. It won the Academy Award for Best Foreign Film. How do you say it? Sotsi. 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 That's the name of the character that we follow through. And it means hoodlum or punk or something like that. And he threw away his family name and he took on that name. It's about this young sort of gangster guy in the slums of outside of Johannesburg. And it's a haunting movie in a foreign language, although there's a lot of English in it. And when he steals a car, he didn't know a baby was in the back of the car. And he ends up with this baby in this incredible slum, millions of people, all black people, and outside of Johannesburg, you know, with tin shacks and dirt streets and teeming people. And he's got this baby in a shopping bag, and he became very attached to this baby, and you wondered why. And he finally realized he had to feed this baby, because this baby would cry. And he tried to do, and he saw this woman with a baby, and he followed her home, and he broke in upon her, and forced her to feed, wet nurse the baby. And there's this interaction between the two of them. And in her shack. And he asks her, "Well, how do you make a living?" And she said, "Well, I take in sewing." And he said, and there were mobiles. She made mobiles from hangers with things all around. And he said, "Do you make these? Do you sell these?" And she said, "Yes." She's feeding the baby. And he said, "Well, this one is all rust. It's just pieces of rusty metal hanging there." Yeah. And she said, "Well, I was very sad when I made that one. I felt very bad." And later on, she looked over, and there was another one with colored glass, different shapes, broken glass, just going like that. And he said, "Well, did you make this one?" And she said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, how much do you sell it? How much?" And she said, "50. And he laughed, and he said, "50 for broken glass?" And she looked at him, she said, "You see broken glass, but I see color and movement and shapes and moving." And he kind of, later on, he ran into this homeless man at the train station begging, and he had layers of old clothes on, and his hands were in a glove, but fingers came out, and he was in a wheelchair, a very pitiful creature, begging. And he's a thief, this guy, you know, and he saw him getting money. Anyway, he went over and he said to him, this is later on, but he said to him, "Why do you keep living? You're broke. Your body's broken. You're old. It's horrible. Why do you keep living?" And the homeless guy is startled by this question and is confused by it, and I guess looks at his mind. "Why do I keep living?" And he says, "Well," he says, and he holds his hands up, and the only part of him that is out, in, because his fingers go through his gloves, he says, "Sometimes I feel the sun on my fingers," he says. "I feel the warmth of the sun on my fingers. I haven't told you what happens in that movie, but I suggest you go and see it. These are just the size, and I was thinking, that writer has got to be, I was thinking, a Buddhist, you know, to come up with that way, that saving grace, that spring, you know. I don't know who he is. And all the characters are actual indigenous, you know, people from the slums, mostly. He didn't use actors. He just kind of used them. Yeah. Dogen says that seeing form with your and color, rust, with your whole body and mind, then you understand immediately. This is bringing full life to your activity. And this is our practice. To be completely alive. To be completely, fully there for whatever you do. I mean, that's our intention. Now we dive in and swim in the ocean. Now we are the wind. Oh, there's this poem, Under the Eagle's Wing. Did you ever hear of Joy Harajo? Wonderful poet. She's a Muskogee Indian from Oklahoma. She wrote this poem called Eagle Poem. It says, to pray, you open your whole self to sky, to earth, to sun, to moon. To one whole voice that is you. And know there is more that you can't see and can't hear. Can't know except in moments steadily growing and in languages that aren't always sound, but other circles of motion. Like the eagle that Sunday morning over Salt River, circled in blue sky and wind, swept our hearts clean with sacred wings. We see you, see ourselves, and know that we must take the utmost care and kindness in all things. Breathe in, knowing we are made of all of this. So Dogen says, a fish swims in the ocean, and no matter how far it swims, there is no end to the water. A bird flies in the sky, and no matter how far it flies, never runs out of sky. However, the fish and the bird have never left their element. When their activity is large, their field is large, and when it's small, their field is small. Thus, each of us totally covers our entire range. And totally experience our realm. And know that the bird is life and the fish is life. Life must be the bird and life must be the fish. This is our life and our practice. The fish and bird live the life of practice, of activity in their realms. We swim and we fly. Everything is the universe in which the individual is eternally immersed. But you know, the individual is the universe. anyway. And do you think the fish knows that it's in water? Do you think? Did somebody say no? There's no swimming without water and no water without swimming. Life is what you make it. And you are what life makes. You and I are the bird and the sky. All day long we fly in our Dharma realm. And all day long we swim as life. We must swim. We are swimming itself. For fish, swimming is the way, and for birds, flying is the way. What's your way? Step by step, breath by breath. You say, just do it. There's nothing outside your Dharma realm. It is complete. It's complete. You don't have to go looking around. Just do it. It's always spring everywhere. To be enlightened by the painting of spring is to be spring itself. Spring enlightens the painter. The painter lets plum blossoms activate spring. No other power is used. No other power is used. We just need to take care of each other. Are we taking care of each other? Well, Martha, my wife, has been visited by some suffering lately. The other day, a close friend died. She's got a heart on her. It was almost too much. And then early the next morning, she was looking out that window, you know, she was looking out 25 minutes ago. And there's this hill there that goes up, there's the beach and then the hill at the end of Green Gulch that you can climb up. And she looked at that, looked out that window and looked at that hill and she said, I'm going to climb that hill. You want to come? And I thought, no, I don't think she wants me to come. She climbed that hill. And a while later, back at the house, she took her coat off, flush, you know, from effort. Standing back at that window, looking back at that hill. And it was a bit windy, chilly, kind of open-eyed, you know, flush. She observed that all her concerns seemed to be settled. They settled into perspective when she was up on the side of that windswept hill. The vastness of it, the energy of it. On that hill, and Peter's spirit seemed to her to have kind of spread out, you know, over that ocean and over those hills, taken up by the wind, permeated the entire universe. Nothing had changed but everything was different. Thank you very much.